All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Heartway Church. Glad you're here. My name is Danny. If it's your first time, happy that you're with us. I get to serve as one of the pastors here at the church, and we've been doing this thing now for almost 4 years. Crazy. It's going to be 4 years in January 2020, and it's been such a fun ride. But I love that every week when we come together, we always see a bunch of new faces. And so I especially want to acknowledge you and say thank you. We're so grateful that you're here. We actually just started a new series of talks called The Classics. And in this series, we're going to be diving into some of the timeless wisdom that can be found in many of the ancient biblical stories that we've looked over or passed over or have never been exposed to before. And today particularly, I want to highlight a story from the life of a man named David. Everybody familiar with David? Have you heard about David? He's the guy who defeats Goliath, but everybody talks about that story and it's boring. So we're going to talk about another one that I know none of you have ever read because I love doing that. So look with me at this passage of scripture, and the story goes like this. When David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it down, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed none of them, but they carried them off, and they went their way. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down, and their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Then it says David's two wives had also been taken captive, and I'm definitely not going to try and pronounce their names. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, just to give you a little context and background on David, one of the most popular descriptors of David throughout the Hebrew scriptures is a man after God's own heart. Think about the quality of character that David had for him to be labeled by his peers as a man after God's own heart. Now, David was somebody who took on a lot of different roles throughout his life. For a while, he was a shepherd, and so he would take care of sheep. And when he would do that, he learned the importance of discipline. He learned what it means to take on responsibility. He learned courage and fearlessness in that setting. Then David also became a musician. Any musicians in the house? Try out for the team. Come on, somebody. David was a musician, which means that David was somebody who understood rhythm and harmony. He understood the importance of what it means to live in tune with yourself and with other people, because if you're not in tune with yourself, you won't be in tune with anybody else. If you don't understand you, you won't understand anybody. And David, by the way, was so good at doing what he was doing as a musician that for a while, when there was another king in charge by the name of Saul, and this dude would have mental breakdowns, he would call David to come in. And David would play his harp for him. And that would get him back to this place of stillness and centeredness. And then later on, eventually in David's life, David ends up becoming the king of Israel. He was the most powerful person in all of Israel. Now, in this story that we just read, David had yet to step into his role as king. He knew that was something that was coming in the future, but that wasn't his reality right now. In fact, his reality in that moment when in the story that we just read was a very difficult one, because the current king, Saul, had a little bit of beef with David. He was threatened by David. He was insecure because David was a good-looking dude and everybody liked him, and they were singing his praises and they were clapping their hands and they wanted David to lead them. And Saul was threatened that David was going to try and take over before it was his time. And so eventually Saul sought out to kill this very man who at one point was helping him. So David, knowing this, he ran for his life. He ran for his life. But because David was a man of influence, he had people who followed him. And so David and his soldiers and all of their family members ended up finding a place to camp out in the middle of nowhere. And one day when David and his army go out to fight a battle or do whatever it is that they needed to do, there was an opposing army that came and totally destroyed the place that David and his soldiers and his family members had called home. They burned everything down. They lost absolutely everything. Think about the process that David was going through internally through all of this. He knew he was called to be a leader, but now because of all of this mess, there were people who were questioning that. They were bitter towards him. They were angry towards him. David was probably really mad and angry with himself. How could I have made that decision? How could I have slipped up that way? What could I have done better? Because David had lost everything. Anybody know what it's like to feel like you've lost everything? To feel like you've lost a grip on your life, like everything is out of control, like the thing that mattered most to you was just taken from you? That's what David was experiencing. And yet in that moment, I want you to pay attention to what the scriptures say that David did. If we go back to that first slide, the other one. The last line says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself. What does it look like for us to strengthen ourselves? Because sometimes nobody else is going to do it unless you do it. There are other passages of scripture that say David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, everything external to you can be taken from you. But the one thing that can never be taken from you in your whole life is your choice. You get to choose how you're going to approach any given situation. You get to choose your attitude in life. You get to choose what you're going to focus on. You get to choose what you're going to concentrate on as you're going through these different experiences. I'm going to choose to focus on the grace of God coming to me in this moment. I'm going to choose to concentrate on how this situation is going to help me to become a better human being and a better lover of God and other people. You may not have power over external events, but you do have power over your mind. And the moment you can come to recognize the power that you have over your mind is when you too, just like David, can tap into that power and that strength that God has deposited into you through the Spirit. It's funny when I talk to people, we're always, and I have a bad habit of doing this, but we're always thinking about getting away from it all. Has anybody ever had that thought? Like, you just want to get away from it all? Just want to throw the whole thing away? Just want to put a bomb in it and just let it all explode and just start over? Anybody relate to that? No? Some people are like, no, you're crazy. Danny, that's just you. I literally just had someone say, not me. Okay, one person in the back. Awesome. Well, there are times, people, okay, when I feel like throwing it all away. And there are times when I just feel like I don't want to deal with it anymore. But did you know you don't have to like move somewhere or physically go to another place in order to get away from it all? You can get away from it all at any moment. You want to know how? By going within yourself. There is no place more peaceful than your own soul. There is nothing that brings more tranquility and more harmony and more peace into your life than learning how to rest in the presence of God, by learning how to step into and live into the fullness of who you know yourself to truly be. That's why the psalmist encourages us to be still and know that God is who God says that God is. In that stillness, in that place of quietness, there are all the resolutions that you need for your problems. Because the truth is, the reason why many of us are exasperated and stressed and frustrated is because we're allowing our mind to just go into hyperdrive and we just keep repeating the same thoughts to ourselves over and over and over again. But if you keep repeating the same thoughts to yourself over and over and over again, you're not going to make any progress. So sometimes all you have to do is learn how to take a step back and quiet your mind and recognize that you are not the thoughts that you think. You are not the mistakes that you make. You are not the feelings or emotions that you have. Constantly withdraw into yourself and renew yourself. The desert fathers and the desert mothers, who were like one of the first monastics in the Christian tradition, they used to have this saying that they would teach to the young monks who were coming up in the faith. They would say, go to your cell, and your cell will teach you everything. The cell was like their little prayer room, I guess, where they would live and be by themselves, their own private space. They would say, just go to your cell, and your cell will teach you everything you need to know. I forgot who said this quote. I read it somewhere, but somebody important said that most of the world's problems comes from our inability as human beings to sit silently with ourselves for 5 minutes. If you would just get quiet enough, you will hear God speak. If you just get quiet enough, you already know the answer. You already know what you need to do, but it's your mind convincing you otherwise. And so it's so important to remember, it's never the situation that's affecting you. It's your opinion of the situation that affects you. Any disturbance that you may feel as a human being is always coming from within. And I know it's hard for us to swallow that pill, because that means you have to take full responsibility for the state that you're in every given moment. But guess what? As difficult as that may seem, it's also the most empowering thing in the world. Because now your fulfillment, your happiness, your joy, your peace is not dependent on something outside of you changing. Because if it has to be something outside of you changing, you have no control over that, which means you're going to be miserable as long as the situation doesn't change. So instead of waiting for your life to change, change your approach to life. Live life with open arms, with receptivity, knowing that God is always seeking to teach you through what it is that you're going through. Maturity essentially is what happens when, by God's grace, we start learning how to see through the illusions of our mind. When we learn how to see through the illusory nature of the stories and the narratives that we're constantly telling ourselves over and over and over again. And when we finally wake up to the truth and live in the truth. See, because long before you had a problem, God already had a plan. So what would it look like for you to step into that truth in the moment when you feel like you've lost it all, in those moments when you feel like you're weak? How could you pick yourself back up? How can you strengthen yourself? How can you encourage yourself through whatever it is that you're facing? Well, this morning, I just want to give you a few little tips, a few little pointers, three ways to strengthen yourself when you're going through difficult moments in your life. Here's the first one I want to share with you. Number one is get the help that you need. Get the help you need. Look at what it says in 1 Samuel. We'll look at this same scripture again. It says, "Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and they wept until they had no more strength to weep." I mean, think about it. If you lose it all, just like he lost it all, that's going to have an effect on you. You're going to feel a certain type of way. I love that this passage of scripture is so open and honest about the fact that David and his men were willing to feel their feelings. They were willing to go through their emotions. They allowed themselves to be in process. They didn't judge themselves along the way. It's okay to be human. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to not have everything together. But being vulnerable and being honest about our weaknesses is something that's really hard for a lot of us to do. Especially men, by the way. So many people, they think they've got to be tough, and we think we've got to carry the world on our shoulders. We've got to be strong for everybody else, but on the inside, we're weak, and we don't feel like we can talk about it. And so you can keep doing what you're doing, but that's not going to be sustainable in the long haul. Eventually, you're going to run into a wall, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to, if you don't choose to humble yourself, life will humble you for you. Really? So it's better for you to humble yourself ahead of time before life gets you to that point where now you're forced to be humble. But normally we don't listen until that has to happen, which is fine, but you can avoid that if you listen to your pastor. But honestly, a lot of people think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. And nothing can be further from the truth. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Asking for help is a sign of wisdom. It takes a lot of wisdom to recognize your limitations. It takes a lot of wisdom to recognize and know what you can and cannot do. So don't be ashamed to ask for help. Is it going to take humility? Absolutely. And that's why most of us who need help but we don't ask for it go through the struggles that we do. But have you ever considered that maybe, just maybe, what you need in your diet right now is a good old slice of humble pie? Because you're doing it on your own with your pride and your ego, trying to do it by yourself, hasn't really gotten you many places. I mean, it's gotten you this far, but it's not going to take you to where you need to go. But you got to be willing to be weak. You've got to be willing to feel your feelings. You got to know that it's okay not to have it all together. And the reason why you can acknowledge that and still keep your confidence, the reason why you can be real and honest about your limitations and your weaknesses is because no matter what those limitations and weaknesses are, those limitations and weaknesses do not define you as a human being. They don't define who you are. You are not the mistakes that you make. You are not the bad things that you do. You are not the issues that you have. Who you are is a beloved child of God, and who you are is enough. And the whole spiritual journey begins with you learning how to accept yourself exactly as you are. You cannot correct something that you're not willing to confront. So change, transformation, growth begins when you take all the courage you have within you and you face yourself. And you do it honestly, and you do it authentically, and you do it remembering the promise of God, which is that God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. The scriptures say that God gives grace to the humble, but God resists the proud. That's a big statement. The only people who are used by God, the only people who are vessels of God, are those who have an open-hearted receptivity and humility. People who learn how to get themselves out of the way. And if you don't learn how to develop this humility, if you don't learn how to be okay being weak, you're always going to feel alone. You're always going to feel like nobody understands you. You're always going to feel like people don't get it. And more importantly, you may start making the mistake of thinking that your role in all of this is way more important than it actually is. One of my favorite teachers, Richard Rohr, he did a little interview with Oprah on Super Soul Sunday. You guys should watch Super Soul Sunday. It's kind of cool. Any Oprah fans in here? Kind of? Oh, all right, cool. Okay. I felt so bad. Just a side note. Years ago when I was very extreme in my Christianity, I was at my parents' house, and my mom for years loved Oprah. I mean, she loved Oprah. She had all magazines of Oprah in the house. And I was pretty firm about my convictions, and I knew what was right and what was wrong. And I was basically right. Everybody else was wrong. So when I went in there and I saw those Oprah magazines, I said, "Mom, you got to throw these out." She said, "Why?" I was like, "Mom, look, Oprah, she's just wishy-washy. I don't know if she's a real Christian. You just got to throw all of those out, man. I don't know what she's teaching people. It's just maybe like really darkness. I don't know if Satan's behind this or what. So you may have to throw this out." And my mom loves me so much that she's like, "Okay." And my parents put me through seminary school. They paid for it. She's like, "Okay, if that's what they're teaching you, I guess that's what it is." She threw away all her Oprah books. And then the other day, I'm like, "Oh, Mom, you should watch this new episode of Super Soul Sunday with Richard Rohr." And she's like, "Are you serious?" She literally brought this. She's like, "Are you serious? I threw away all my Oprah magazines, and now you're telling me to watch Oprah? I'm done with you." I said, "Well..." Anyway, in this interview that Richard Rohr did with Oprah, okay, he made this wonderful statement. He said, "I pray to God for one humiliation a day, just to keep me in that right state." Think about what it takes for a human being to say that. I pray for one good humiliation a day. It reminds me of what Paul experienced in the New Testament, when he had a thorn on his side. We don't know what that is or what that means, but there was something that was afflicting him, something that was bugging him, something that was bothering him. And Paul's prayer to God over and over again was, "God, would you take this away from me? Would you take this struggle away from me? Would you take this away from me?" And God doesn't respond by taking away the problem. Instead, God says, "My grace is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, I am strong." It's only when we can admit our powerlessness, it's only when we can admit that we can't do this on ourselves, that we then start to depend on a resource and a power that is much greater for us, that can sustain us through anything and everything that we're going through in our lives. I've opened up with you guys about this before, but for some reason, and some of you may be able to relate to this, but when it comes to my craft as a communicator, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a person who likes to use words to connect with others, I tend to be very, very critical of myself. Very critical of myself. I think part of that is good because that's what allows you to get better and to grow and to always reach for more and never get satisfied. But sometimes you can really debilitate yourself. And if you're too caught up in perfectionism, which is really just people pleasing, you end up never getting things done. So I've struggled a lot with insecurities regarding my own communicating. sometimes I'll share a message, and because I'm always thinking about better ways to say it, different ways to nuance this or that, or did this connect? Could I have said it like this? Because I'm in my mind a lot, sometimes I can get really discouraged. So I was talking to Emily the other day. She's my sounding board. You know, I get to complain to her about everything. And I had told Emily not too long ago about just some internal struggles that I was going through when it comes to my communicating and ways that I want to get better and things that I want to change so that I can improve. Always tweaking, always working on stuff. And I was expecting Emily to just coddle me. You know, I'm an only child. I just, when I need mom, mom's just there. You know, so I'm expecting Emily, you know, just play. Can you just play the game with me, please? And just tell me how amazing I am or whatever. And let me tell you something. Talk about praying for one good humiliation a day. If you want that, get a wife or a husband. But really, get a spouse because, man, oh, man. I told Emily this, and she said something to me I will never forget. She said, Danny, you're acting as if the only way that God can touch someone at Heartway is through you. She said, you're not that important. I said, excuse me? What did you say to me? I mean, I felt a certain type of way, people. I'm like, what? But then she's like, listen, you don't get it. It may not come through you, but what if it comes in the lobby when someone gets a hug? What if it comes during the worship? What if somebody's touched because they were able to bring somebody new to church and they enjoyed it? What if somebody felt, there's just so many different ways that this machine called Heartway works. Don't think it all depends on you, boo-boo. And can I tell you something? She was right. But it takes a lot of humility to acknowledge that. For me to be able to feel like, oh, I bombed that sermon, but man, at least that takes a lot. You really got to move yourself out of the way to do that. But I was so appreciative that she was able to speak those words of life into my soul because that's exactly what I needed to hear. The whole point of that was, Danny, you don't have to carry the whole weight by yourself. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, whatever it is that you're going through in your life, you don't have to carry the weight of this by yourself. And I know you feel like there may not be anybody who can relate to you because they haven't been through what you're going through. Fine. But open up to somebody. Let somebody in. Trust somebody with what you got. And you'll see how God will surprise you through those people. But nobody was meant to go through this journey of life by themselves. We've got to let people in. We've got to trust people. It's not up to you to carry all of the weight. And sometimes, really, the most important reason why we need to bring people into our lives is just to help get a broader perspective on things. Most of the times when we're stuck, the reason why is because we have way too limited of a scope when it comes to what we are seeing in that moment. All we're seeing is the problem. And remember, when your mind believes that there's a problem, your mind will go and find all of the evidence that it can to support that your theory is true. So what if instead of deciding to see a problem, you decide to see the grace of God at work? What if instead of deciding to see a problem, you decide to see all of the ways that God is going to use this to transform you and show you to yourself? Of course, it's going to take courage. It takes courage to let people in. It takes courage to invite others to go into those deep, dark places in your soul. But the truth is, some of you by yourself, you won't go to those dark places. And we need other people who will go there with us. Otherwise, we'd rather just ignore it. We'd rather pretend like it's not there. We'd rather repress it. We'd rather act like we don't have a problem. And we keep carrying the pain, we keep carrying the struggle, and it keeps bogging us down, and it holds us back from being everything it is that God has created us to be. So be honest, be vulnerable, be real about your weaknesses, but always remember, don't get discouraged in the process, because you may see all that you're not, but God sees all that you are. And who you are right now, right here in this moment, with all of your flaws and all of your issues, is more than enough. So begin there by accepting yourself and getting the help you need, which leads me to the second point, and that's this: remind yourself of who you are. In those moments when you've lost everything, in those moments when you feel like your world is crashing around you, remind yourself of who you are. And what I mean by that is affirm yourself in your giftings. Affirm yourself in your calling. Affirm yourself in what you know to be your God-given purpose. Why are you here? Do you have that question settled? Do you have that big overarching purpose that drives everything in your life? Look at what it says in the book of 1 Timothy. Paul writes this to Timothy, who is his protege, and he's handing off a church community to him. And he says to him, in the midst of your struggles and difficulties, don't ever forget to do this. Fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you. In other words, do what makes you come alive on the inside. Reignite your passion. You know, do what you love to do. Stay focused on what you know you have been put on this earth to do. Tap into your power. Reignite yourself. If you read David's story, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel long before he ever actually stepped into the role. There was a huge gap for David between the dream and the destination. And that waiting period is a waiting period that all of us have to endure. There's always going to be a gap. There's always going to be a distance between where you are and where it is that you want to be and where it is that you want to go. And the most important thing that you can do, the only thing that's really going to sustain you during that period and keep you from throwing it all away and giving it all up and throwing in the towel, is reminding yourself of who you are and what you're here to do. Those are the two biggest questions any human being can ask themselves. Who am I? And why am I here? And you've got to get quiet enough with yourself to find the answer. And once you know you've found it, when it's become an unshakable foundation for you, you know that you know that you know. It may not make sense up here how all of it's going to work out, but you know that you know that you know what you're here for, what you're called to do. Those questions are the questions that get you started on the journey of self-discovery, that get you started on the journey of oneness with God. And so a lot of times when it comes to reigniting ourselves and getting passionate again, all this comes down to is just the words that we say, the words that we speak. It's so important to make sure that we're speaking words of life over ourselves. Every single one of us in this room, we have messages that we're constantly telling ourselves in our mind over and over and over again. They've been embedded in us because of our upbringing, or maybe these were just reactions that we've had over life, but we have this internal dialogue that's always going on. Voices of guilt, voices of accusation, voices of anger, voices of insecurity, voices of not enough, voices of judgment and blame. And sometimes it can get so overwhelming that you don't know what to do. And all of that personal commentary that you have in your head, by the way, is what is determining your reaction to everything that happens in your life. So if you don't like the way that you're reacting to things because the effect that it's having is not a positive one, if you want to rewire your mind, that begins by speaking words of affirmation over yourself, speaking words of truth. All of us are always making affirmations throughout our day, but 80% of them are just negative. So what if we started making affirmations that line up with the truth of who we are? What if we start making affirmations that are in line with the truth of who God is? What if we started making affirmations that are in line with who we know God has called us to be? Anything that you repeat to yourself eventually becomes etched in your mind. And what you believe is what you give power to. So what are you giving power to right now? Are you giving power to whatever negative thought it is that you're thinking? Or are you giving power to truth? Are you giving power to what God has said to be true? That's the most important thing. In those moments when we're in despair, when we're feeling overwhelmed, it's reminding ourselves that we're capable. Reminding ourselves that we're able to do it. You're capable of doing it. And if no one's told you that, you got to know that you're strong. You're capable. You're courageous. You've got it in you. But you've got to believe this for yourself. And that leads me to the last point, which is on this journey, as you're seeking to grow, as you're seeking to adjust to the different circumstances in your life, which, by the way, you know that the only thing that doesn't change in life is change. Everything is constantly changing. So don't get attached to anything, not just the low moments, but the high moments. You can't get attached to those things. Because before you know it, it's going to be taken from you. And if that's where your happiness is, if that's where your joy is, if that's where your peace is, it'll be gone before you know it. So the third one here is be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself on this journey. I have a really bad habit of judging myself for not being where I'm supposed to be for some reason. I don't know where I got that from or what it is. Maybe because people have high expectations of me because I'm a pastor or a leader and I just put extra pressure on myself for no reason. Whatever the case may be, I tend to have this bad tendency of judging myself for not progressing as fast as I think I should, as if my progress has ever been in my control. This whole thing is way bigger than just me. God is at work in and through my life. And so what I'm learning how to do now, and this is helping me a lot, is every time I have that self-critical commentary, I'm trying to meet those thoughts with compassion. Instead of resisting those thoughts, oh my God, I can't believe that I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and I thought I was better than this, and oh man, I made a mistake, or I did something I shouldn't have done, and why am I still like that? Why is this still an issue all these years later? Instead of coming at it from that perspective, I meet those thoughts with compassion. Some of us, you just have to learn how to be at peace with the fact that you're not at peace, and then you'll be at peace, if that makes sense. You have to just be at peace with the fact that you're not at peace. My life is a mess, and it's okay. And it's not until you get to that point that, and it's okay, that you can start building. You get what I'm saying? Because until you get to that point, it's okay, it's ruling you, it's controlling you, and you're not even seeing things correctly anymore. And you're hindering yourself, you're holding yourself back. So you've got to accept yourself where you are, wherever that is on your journey. Embrace whatever stage that you're in, because this stage right here has lessons for you that are absolutely invaluable. And until you get those lessons here, you won't be able to move to the next stage of your life to get the lessons that are there. So many of us, and it's kind of sad how often we waste our experiences. Don't waste your experience. What do I mean by that? When you're going through something challenging and difficult in your life, don't waste your experience. The way you waste your experience is by waiting for something to change. I just gotta wait for something to change and then things are gonna get better. That's called wasting your experience. If you want to utilize your experience, then use everything that you go through as a tool to work on yourself. And then, no matter what happens to you, you know this is serving a greater purpose. You know that this is all a part of the plan to get you somewhere. It's all a part of you becoming who it is that God has called you to be. So don't get discouraged on the process. There's always going to be something else you need to work on, people. There's always going to be another step you need to take. There's always going to be another mistake that you have to correct. But regret, I read this quote the other day, regret is weaponizing your growth against yourself. Think about that. Regret is just weaponizing your growth against yourself. Well, what are you regretting? No, what has been done has been done. Now, how can I learn from this? Now, how can I take some steps forward? Now, what can I do to rebuild? If your intention in life is to grow, you're in the will of God, no matter what may be happening in your life. If your intention is to become more like Christ, if your intention is expansion and evolution and maturity and Christ-likeness, you're always in the will of God, even when you feel you are far out there somewhere because of all the mistakes that you make. God sees your heart. And if your heart is in the right place and you offer your heart to God, now God has something to work with. And now you have something to work with too. Don't limit yourself by focusing too much on your mistakes. Don't limit yourself by judging yourself for all of the things that you do. But instead, show grace to yourself. And in showing grace to yourself, you're going to learn how to show that same grace to other people. So, as we wrap up, just to recap, I know this is very practical today, but I want you to get better. And I want you to grow. And I want you to know that you truly are an overcomer and that you can be of good cheer, like Jesus said, because he has overcome the world. And the same peace that he had within himself when he was dealing with the challenges in his life is the peace that has been granted to you by the Spirit of God. And it's there for you to access. That power is there within you. You can strengthen yourself. You can pick yourself back up. But it's going to take you getting the help you need. Is going to take you reminding yourself of who you are, and it's going to take a lot of patience on the journey. But if you do those things, I promise you, God's going to show up. God's going to meet you right where you are. And your life is going to become everything it is that you know it could be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that even though sometimes life can get messy and scary, and even though it feels like things are falling apart, that you are there with us, that you listen to us, that you guide us and you comfort us. Help us, God, to tap into this power that you've placed within us. The scriptures say that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Today, God, in this moment, we open ourselves up to receive the help that we need. We admit and acknowledge our weakness and our powerlessness, and we depend completely and totally on your grace in this moment. I can't do it by myself anymore, God. I need you. We need you. God, remind us of who we are. Help us, Lord, to live into the fullness of our identity and to be patient with ourselves all along the way. We entrust our lives into your hands, knowing, God, that you have the power to turn a negative into a positive. You have the power, God, to turn the ship around. You have the power, God, to lift up our spirits. We trust in you to carry us through. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming. Appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. God bless you. Don't forget the CMC Therapy grand opening is happening on the 29th. Would love to see you there. We'll see you next weekend. God bless.